Thank you. It is great to be with you all today. As was just mentioned, I just started in this role July 1st. Greg Fell has been the district superintendent faithfully for the Rocky Mountain District for the last 23 years. And so he and I will be overlapping for the first 6 months here as I get a chance to learn from him and get a chance to be introduced to the churches and the pastors. This is a service today where I don't want to really focus a lot on that aspect. There's another time I hope I'll be invited back to come and to share more of what God is doing. But I just, I really appreciate the Free Church and the balance that we have between what really joins us together in terms of the authority of Scripture, as well as how we can be better together in terms of church planting and being involved with helping people not only within our geographical area but also within the country itself and also around the world. I just feel like I just want to pray again for our brothers and sisters who are in Haiti as well as in Afghanistan. I know missionaries in Afghanistan who are really troubled and trying to figure out themselves what God is asking them to do, whether they should actually leave or stay. We have, in the church I served for 21 years before I entered into this role, we had a relationship with several pastors and churches down in Haiti. We would take trips down there, usually 2 or 3 or 4 every year. And so there's a lot of hurting brothers and sisters that are out there. So would you just join me in prayer right now? I just feel like I need to pray for them. And so God, as you have called us as your people, we understand that it is much greater and bigger than just our own local congregations. And Lord, so today as we just think about what is going on in the world and we think about our brothers and sisters in the church in Afghanistan, in Haiti, as well as other troubled areas as well today, we pray for your presence to be with all of them, that you would give the pastors and missionaries in those areas wisdom and what you're speaking to them about in terms of the church that is there. Lord, even within the church in the United States today, with all of the challenges that we have before us based on what is going on currently, and whether it's still realities of how to manage and to work through the pandemic realities, or just some of the ways in which we are so divided as a nation. Lord, we know you have called our church, the Evangelical Free Church, for such a time as this. Whatever area that you've called us to live that out in, jointly you've called us to, again, reflect who you are in this broken world, to bring hope through the gospel. So Lord, thanks again for this opportunity for us to come before your throne of grace and to trust you with these things, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Just real briefly about myself, I've been a local church pastor for 31 years, and the story of how God moved me from that role to this role of being a pastor to pastors, really the Rocky Mountain District is focus is to help each individual congregation, wherever God has called them, to be able to serve them and help them. Some of the ways that we're doing that right now, we have 7 churches that are without pastors right now, and so you can pray for them in that transition. One of the challenges we're facing is not that there is less people going into pastoral ministry, but especially this last year and a half has really taken its toll on a lot of pastors who have said that they want to do something else, they want to retire early. And so what's happening is that there are churches who are looking for pastors, but there's no one to fill those roles. And so there's a huge challenge going on right now that we need to pray, and part of it is just really encouraging pastors to come alongside them. Being in this role for, like I said, 31 years, I understand the realities and the challenges that are a part of living out that pastoral, the spiritual battle that goes on. My family, my wife and I have been married for 32 years. We have 7 children from age 27 down to 11. My 2 youngest traveled with us to relocate here in Colorado. But I've just seen the impact on my own children. I have one child who is a wanderer, a prodigal right now. And she's been wandering for 7 to 8 years. And what I've learned in the midst of this role is that if the enemy cannot attack your marriage, if he cannot attack the reality of yourself personally, he goes after your children and grandchildren. And probably all of us in this room have those in our midst and families who are not following Jesus Christ right now. And so we need to continue to pray, intercede for them, that their eyes would be opened and they would follow Jesus. This is a special day for this church. I reflected back. I have served in 3 different churches. The longest, again, was 21 years in a church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And as I reflected on that kind of commissioning service there, I wanted to speak to you about some things that I think are really important for you all as you enter into this relationship. Now, obviously, Andrew is not a stranger to this church, growing up in this church and serving here previously. But moving into a role of a senior pastor and following his father is a unique situation. And as I looked on your website and as I talked to a few of you before the service, just about this church and its beginnings and its purpose here in this community, as I looked on your website, it said your purpose is to bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ, and then how you do that is listed there. And that really is the focus of every church in the United States. God calls it uniquely to a geographical area, to be a light in that place. And you have that same kind of calling that is here. And so as we think about this opportunity today, I just want to pray for all of you as we look at a passage from Hebrews chapter 13. And so, Lord, as we come to your word right now, we ask that you would use it in such a way that you would speak to our hearts. We know that everything that you've written in your word is a reflection of your and your love that you want us to experience, that you want us to put into practice, that you want to remind us about in terms of the relationships that we have with one another. So Lord, thank you again for this time, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So the passage is in Hebrews chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there. We're going to be looking at just 3 verses today, and it's kind of in 2 sections. The book of Hebrews itself was written to those early believers. The culture in which the first century church was called to, again, live out the reality of making disciples who could make disciples. That culture is very similar to what we find out in, as we reflect on what's happening in the American culture today. There is levels of what I call cancel culture. They were trying to cancel Jesus and the early church for, again, their stand for truth and that Jesus was the only way. There's aspects of the reality of the early church of persecution and its impact on people, sometimes giving into fear and shrinking back. And so in the midst of that, in these words, the context, again, is similar to our own context. And so God, because he loves us, he speaks through his word to us so that we know how we are to live. And sometimes it's a matter of just being reminded of those things. So let me just read this for you. It says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Well, again, the main truth that we see in the book of Hebrews, and we know that the first fundamental aspect of Bible study is that we, again, look at the context. We don't just look at one word or a verse, but we look at the chapters and the book itself and what God is speaking to us about. Now, in this particular book, the biggest theme that comes through is that Jesus is better than everything. He's better than all the Old Testament, again, prototypes of the Messiah and who he would be. And we see that through the first part of Hebrews. It begins to talk about their relationship with one another and that they needed to grow up and mature that they were not to remain babies in Christ. There's aspects of their pointing to the reality of Jesus and why he is unique and why we trust him and that we need to hold fast to him in all of life. And so in the midst of that, in any time of transition that happens, so no matter what that is, my wife and I and children are going through that transition right now of just less than 2 months moving into a new area, for me moving into a new role. And by the way, I forgot to mention, we were just in Wisconsin, so we had to travel through the night, 16 hours driving straight, so that I could get back here to be with you all. And the reason was, my first grandchild decided that he wanted to stay in the womb 8 days later than his due date. And not only that, but they changed the rules in the hospital so only one person could see them for a 24-hour period. So we had to wait till they left. So I got to hold my grandson a grand total of 15 minutes so far. But we're looking forward to seeing what God does in his life. But transitions. My son and daughter-in-law are going through a transition of having a new baby. The reality of transitions that we have went through as a church over this last year with the pandemic and adjusting to all of those realities. But the one sure foundation always is that Jesus is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He is always the one that we come back to, the foundation. Hebrews 13:17 was the focus verse for my commissioning service. And learning again and being reminded of how God wants the relationship between church leaders and the body of Christ. And so, because we know that life is about relationship and your relationship with your pastor here and the elders here, as well as your relationship with the community that God has placed you in, we need to be reminded of a few things today as you commission and you respond to God's calling in Pastor Andrew's life, and the work in the elders' life as well as your church that is here. I want you to notice in verses 78, in the midst of that, the relationship between church leaders and the congregation that are described here. It's interesting that as you begin to look at it, there is a word there. It says, remember your leaders. Now, throughout Scripture, there is this word remember, and it happens in a lot of different ways. That's why when we gather as the church, we celebrate the Lord's Supper because we remember who Jesus is. But the remembering is more than just some intellectual knowledge that we would have, an awareness of something. When the word is used, remember, it's invoking a response. And so we can see the response that is invoked here. As you remember your leaders and those that God has placed in your life to help you in terms of not only know who Jesus is, but to grow in following him, as you remember them, you're to do something. You're to consider their life. You're to imitate them. Paul made it very clear when he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so the leaders of the church, again, have this role, this relationship, that they would live their lives in such a distinct way that people, as they see their life, would say, I want to follow them. So in the midst of this, we see this relationship. And if you notice here, as, again, the author is writing, we see described here some biblical roles that are mentioned here in verse 13. Now, one of my roles that I've had ever since I became a believer at 19 years old, on December 29, 1981, I was listening to the preacher teach on the rich young ruler. And I was that religious guy. I knew all the right answers. And if you'd asked me the Ten Commandments, I could have recited them. But the reality is I was not a believer. I was an idolater. I loved the things in the world more than I loved God. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit came and opened my eyes, and I was born again. And my life has never been the same. And from that beginning point on there, what I began to understand is God gave me this gift of coaching. And it's not only in athletics, as I've been coaching now for almost 40 years, different sports and so forth, but from the reality of coaching people, of coming alongside them, really as a player coach. And one of the things that I learned about my teams over the years is that the teams who really accepted their roles and lived out that role when I was coaching football, all 11 players on the field, they all had a role. And if one of them did not live out that role, the play would not work, and again, the game would not go well. But the ones that really learned to work together, to live out their role, are the ones who accomplished really, really fun things during the season. It's not any different within the context of the church. There are roles that God has called each of us to live out, our unique calling. It doesn't mean one role is better than the other, but we're described as a body, and each part is important. Each part is described. And so here we see when it says that our biblical roles are described here, Pastor Andrew, the reality of your role in the other elders is a pretty sobering role. Because your role is to watch over souls. That is not something that is superficial. The essence of who we are is our soul. It's who God has made us to be. When God calls us home someday, and my aunt, who I was very close to, just passed away 3 days ago. She's with Jesus. Her soul is there, even though her body is left behind. Our soul in the essence of who we are. And so all of us know this, elders, and Pastor Andrew, it says that you will give an account for how you did that. So you don't just go into it lightly. It's a sobering thing to think about. That serious calling of what does it mean? And if you're going to watch over souls, the only way that you can do that, and elders here as well, is that you know your people well. You spend time with them. You are with them through the difficult times and the happy times. You really do become family. It's the thing that I'm grieving the most right now, my new role, is I miss my family, not only my older children, but my church family. You get really close together over all those years. You walk through lots of different things. So the reality is we have to fight the tendency of what the culture is telling us to do, where the pastor is seen as some kind of CEO of some business. That is not the church. The church is a family. It's the body of Christ in which we spend time with one another in the midst of all the things in life so that, as it's mentioned here, they can follow you. Now, the people's role in this is, as it says here, is to obey and to submit to leaders who are obeying and submitting themselves to Christ. In other words, all this is based on leaders who are pursuing Christ themselves and reflecting Him, His character, and His priorities. And as they live that out and are mature in that, the reality is the people themselves, they submit to that as they're drawing close to God, as they're following God. In that role, what begins to happen is that there's unity that happens. If there's anything that we have learned from the pandemic, we were not always unified. And the enemy will use whatever he can to try to bring down this congregation so that it does not live out its calling and its role, not only for the people here, but also in the community. So when we begin to live out different roles, when we begin to elevate our preferences, when we begin to give into the deception of the evil one who wants to divide and conquer us, to begin to believe lies, when the relationships don't matter as much as other things, we're going to be in trouble as the church. So leaders are to be examples in word and deed, and the congregation is to following them. It's what Jesus said when he said, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. Well, the only way that you can do that is if you actually live that out yourselves. You are an example of that. You show them how to do that within the context of your life. And so we see the roles there that God wants to remind us about in this relationship as Pastor Andrew becomes your senior pastor here. But secondly here, there are some real benefits that God is reminding us about if we live out these roles as we follow Christ together. It says here that leaders will experience joy instead of groaning or grief, or that the ministry becomes a heavy burden. Again, I mentioned to you earlier, we are in a very difficult time right now within the church because there's not enough people called into the ministry who can fill the churches who are looking for shepherds and senior pastors to lead them. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the total answer to that is, other than that part of what's happened here is that pastors, again, felt overwhelmed and burdened because of the division that was going on within the church itself. Over whether you should wear a mask or not, or whether you should gather anyway, or do you not have faith if you're fill in the blank. And all these things were distracting us and getting us to the point. And it wasn't a joyful time. It was groaning. It felt like a burden. And we needed to get our eyes back on Jesus again and the purpose why he called us into these relationships. But when we live this way, where we're living on our roles, and the pastor and the elders are watching over souls, and they're spending time with their people, and they're walking with them through that as they follow Christ together, there's joy that is the byproduct of that. But not only that, the people of God experience an advantage, a benefit as well of unity and joy, and not the relational pain that happens when we're divided from one another. We have to understand again that we are in a spiritual battle. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. As Ephesians 6 says, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not that person that maybe I may have a different perspective on life or about how to deal with a pandemic or whatever it is. That the evil one, what he wants to do again is to get our eyes off the reality of what we're called to be as the people of God, to not be unified around those things. And so you and I, if we want to experience the byproduct, the joy of unity and the reality of not being in a relationship with somebody who I am not close to, and there's a need for reconciliation, that we need to get back to the gospel again, which is the good news of Jesus reconciling sinners to a holy God, so that that relationship then permeates every other relationship. And we need to remember that the solution to what's going on in our nation today is always the gospel. It is people that God has placed in our lives, just like the person I met last night in the lobby of the Super 8, who is troubled. And so wherever I go, I make it my habit to pray and say, God, wherever I'm going, who is it that you want me to talk to? That first revelation of that came when I was 19 years old, when I realized that the track team that I was running for and the cross-country team and the classes that I had and the dorm room that I was in, that yes, I was there to study and to run, but I was mainly there to build relationships with people so that the Christ in me could be, again, experienced by those who needed a relationship with him. Wherever we go. And so this lady was just really troubled because her family who was there were not getting along. So I just spent some time listening and just prayed with her. I invited her to come here today, but I don't see their family, but they had other things going on. But there's tremendous benefits when we live God's way, when we work through the things that we need to, and that leads me to the last point. This reality of the blessing, the overall blessing that God wants to give his people, which is always reflected in the word shalom. When we're at peace with God, when we're at peace with one another, then the peace of God permeates our lives regardless of the circumstances. Again, the writer here is writing to a church who's going through some very difficult times, not ideal circumstances. I don't think any of us would say right now that over this last year and a half that we have lived in ideal circumstances. Been very difficult. And sometimes our eyes are on the circumstances instead of the God who is greater than the circumstances. And so what our leaders do, Pastor Andrew, you already know this by being a pastor, but the blessing that you will have is to be able to reflect Christ, to love sacrificially, where you're at your human limits, and Christ gives you exactly what you need to do what God has called you to do here as you preach and teach and you shepherd this congregation with the other elders. It is a great blessing to watch over souls. The greatest calling ever. To reflect Jesus that way. And the people, you all here, this congregation, are going to be blessed as you entrust the condition of your soul through relationships with the elders that are here and Pastor Andrew. It is God's design. It is a way in which we experience his peace. It's how we grow as the family of God. So I wanted you to, all of you, to maybe recalibrate a little bit and to remember these simple things that God has given us from Hebrews chapter 13. There's much more that I could say, but I only have 28 minutes, so we will stay with where we need in the time frame. Because there's some things I want to leave you with just to think about. Some specific exhortations. The first one is this. As Pastor Andrew begins his ministry here as senior pastor, avoid comparing him to his father. He is a unique person. He will live out that role in a unique way. Some things will probably be the same because as he follows Christ and as his father followed Christ as well, they'll be similar. But follow him as he follows Christ. The elders as well. It is very easy to be compared. I'm going through this right now because I'm following Dr. Greg Fell, who did this for 23 years. So who is this new guy? Well, I'm going to do things a little bit differently than him, but some of the things are going to be the same because they involve the just simple truths of what it means to follow Jesus and to build relationships with people. Secondly, realize this, you already know this, leaders at times will fail you, but Jesus will never fail you. Always trust him for the direction of this church. Ultimately, the reality is that Jesus is the head of the church. He is the chief shepherd. We are only under shepherds as pastors and as elders. And as we submit to Jesus in our own lives, we lead the church that way. At times, Pastor Andrew and the elders will fail you. They will have to maybe come before you and say, will you forgive us for that? Or maybe that wasn't the wisest decision. And because we live in the context of grace, and we come to his grace over and over again, we're able to continue to keep moving forward as a congregation. Thirdly, remember always that Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Not prevail against living hope. Even in the midst of all the challenges that we have faced over this last year, God is at work. He is pruning. He is recalibrating us back again to our calling as salt and light within the context of this culture that we're called again to reach with the gospel. So look forward with great expectation as you make disciples who can make disciples. And so just in a way for all of us to again commission Pastor Andrew in terms of your relationship with one another. Andrew, would you come and just join me here on the platform as I just ask you a few questions that I want you to affirm with this church body that God has called you to. Pastor Andrew, do you believe in your heart that you are called by God and his church to serve as senior pastor of Living Hope Church?
I do.
And do you believe the books of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God and that it reveals the only way to salvation through the saving work of Jesus Christ, rejecting all teachings contrary to what the Word of God teaches?
I do.
And will you shepherd God's flock that is under your care, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, encouraging the spiritual growth of the Living Hope family as you preach and lead this congregation along with the other elders?
I will.
Will you, the members of Living Hope Church, please stand as you also again, agree as you receive Pastor Andrew as your pastor. Do you agree that he is called to be your senior pastor? Respond with, we do. And will you pray for him and respect him and support him as he follows Christ so that his ministry will be a joy and not a burden? Respond with, we will. Please be seated. And as you're being seated, I want to invite the elders to come forward and just to pray over Pastor Andrew. So would you join us on the platform here? Just place your hands on him and pray right into the mic.
Father, thank you. Thank you for your many gifts. Thank you for the church and for the many gifts that you've given the church. Thank you for the gift of the shepherd, the pastor. Thank you for Andrew, for bringing him here. We ask that you anoint him with your spirit and that you would pour out your blessings upon him.
Mighty Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being the God that is a God that sees everything. Thank you for Pastor Andrew. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the love that you shower down upon us in a never-ending stream. And Lord, we affirm Pastor Andrew, and we just thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's give a praise offering to the Lord for what he is doing. Thank you. And Father, I too just to join with my brothers here who have prayed. And I want to thank you again for what you have done and continue to do in Andrew's life, for the time in which he realized that he needed a Savior, and how he grew within this church. So many who poured into his life. And none of those individuals probably realized that this day would be the day in which Andrew would become the senior pastor here. Lord, I pray for Pastor Steve as well, as he moves into retirement, as he again continues to follow you and trust you, as he lives out his calling in this new role, that you would provide for him in every way. And Lord, as this congregation continues to live out its calling here in this community at this time and this place, again, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the one who empowers us to live the life of Christ. And so empower this church as not only they encourage one another as they grow and as they mature into Christ's likeness, but that you would give them a fresh vision for your calling here in this community, for the thousands who are in this community who do not know you, Lord Jesus, who need to be a part of your church, who are broken, who have no hope apart from the gospel. And so, God, I pray for a stirring of the Spirit within this body here, for the relationships that every person here has with those who do not know you, and that, God, that we would live intentional lives, that we would join you in your work. You've made it very clear what we are to live out. We are to live the everyday commission of making disciples who can make disciples who can make disciples. And we are to do that with an everyday commandment heart of loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so, Lord, again, thank you for this special time today. Lord, you have said that you are with us always to the end of the age. And so, Lord, thank you for that gift. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And that you would help us to, again, draw near to you. And you tell us in James that you'll draw near to us. And so I pray that this congregation would, in an overwhelming way, feel your presence this day and from this day forward. And we pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Again, I want to thank you all for inviting me to be a part of this special day. I look forward to getting to know Pastor Andrew and the elders here and your congregation. And if there is any way in which I can be of service to you, please let me know. I live over in the Springs area, but I'm telling you, boy, am I enjoying seeing Colorado. That ride on I-70 yesterday, I was telling them I had to be careful and my eyes kept going from the lane to just seeing God's beautiful creation. It is a beautiful place that God has created here for all of you. Would you stand as I sing a benediction over you? I love to sing, and this is a familiar, again, benediction and song. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in God's peace. Amen.